Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today we'll be talking traveling south. But up first, food headlines with executive producer of HRN, Jack Inslee.
Smells great in here today.
I know, Jack. I had a little issue here.
It's nice in the studio.
Spray air freshener as all-purpose cleaner.
I see. Well, it's always fun after Snacky Tunes in the Heritage Radio Studios.
Always
has been. So it's fall. Are you doing any canning? Any preserving?
Not doing that, but I went apple picking to Masker's Orchard in Warwick, New York. I guess that's Hudson Valley area.
Right.
It's like hundreds of acres of all types of apples. So I have like pounds of apples at home. So I need to do something with them.
Yeah, figure something out. We just, last night, we made a lot of liqueurs out of a bunch of herbs.
So, oh, really? What did you infuse it with?
Thai basil and pink peppercorn.
Oh, with like vodka or what?
Yeah, like really overproof vodka.
Wow, that's so exciting. Like we need to do a trade-off then.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, so let's, you trade me that and I'll give you some pie crust and some apples already in the sugar and stuff. Okay, I'm gonna see what you can do with that.
So in food headlines, the USDA just okayed tofu as a meat substitute in school lunches, which I guess I'm kind of conflicted on. What are your takes on that?
Yeah, I was kind of like you. I was like, how do I feel about that? I mean, I think we definitely need to change something about school food. I think this is a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Tofu, I'm kind of like, can we just get some real protein, like, you know, non-injected, antibiotic-free chicken in the school?
I guess the question is tofu better than mystery meat or bad meat?
I think it depends on a lot of things with tofu, you know? But I'm like, I'm cool with it. I'm okay with it. I feel like it's a step in the right direction.
Did you bring your lunch or did you get lunch when you went to school?
Oh my gosh. I never brought my lunch and I never ate school food. I used to trade everything on my plate for French fries.
Really?
Yes.
So just one big pile of French fries.
I would trade everything on my plate for French fries. I did that. And in high school, I either used to skip school to go have lunch, or I didn't eat anything. I think about how I was eating. Man, my body was a wreck.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Me too. Same thing.
So I'm on the fence, but hey, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, tweet us if you have any strong opinions on the
matter. Yeah, what are your thoughts on tofu and school foods? School food in the United States. Let us know.
Yeah. So in more kind of like bigger picture, serious news, reading this New York Times article by Kim Severson, who's been on the network before, and I just became familiar with the Gullah people through Jessica Harris.
Oh, yeah.
So she was speaking about them. Apparently, it's they're kind of Creole-speaking African immigrants that are on the southern east coast of Georgia on some islands. The island they're talking about here is Sapelo Island, and Georgia, the government there, they're raising these property taxes upwards to like 600%.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's, you know, people are wondering, they're trying to defend it by saying they're closing loopholes and whatnot, but really what it reads like is they're pushing this culture out.
Well, I'll tell you this, the first time that I encounter the Gullah, or some people say Geechee culture,
mm-hmm,
when I was in middle school or high school, I can't remember which one, I spent an entire summer in Orangeburg, South Carolina, which is probably like an hour from the South Carolina, Georgia coast. And there were a lot of people who were in this summer program who were Geechee. And I'm like, they keep saying this word Geechee. What the hell does that mean? So that's when I was like all like in love and trying to find out more information about this culture of people who are direct descendants from West Africa. And even back then, so you're talking about what, the late 80s, early 90s, you know, developers were buying up all this coastal land to turn it into like resorts or whatever. And I think that Sapelo is kind of, if I'm not mistaken, one of the lone islands that's left.
Yep.
And let's keep it real. There, the job situation all over the country, but particularly in like coastal Georgia, is not the best. So I think, this is my opinion, I'm going to say it, I think that people, they, whoever they is, they have been trying for some time to really snatch up the last remaining land. It's just, this land is really valuable. And sadly, a lot of the families that live on Sapelo Island probably, you know, have passed this down from generation to generation. And to increase your property taxes when you're going to pay in a few hundred dollars to a few thousand.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So I honestly think it's a ploy really just to do a land grab and develop it and turn it into, you know, some museum or something. But I think it's crazy.
It is. No, you're dead on. That was the quote from Annie Watts, who's you know, one of the residents there. She was paying $362 in property taxes last year, and now they're asking for $2,312. I mean, it's...
And here's the thing, crazy. And here's the thing, I'm not sure. I think Sapelo is one of the same islands. It's not like you can get directly to Sapelo Island, or at least some of the Georgia Sea Islands. You usually have to take a boat, or it's very remote. It's not like this developed town with all these businesses and all that kind of stuff. So I just feel like it's prime real estate. And we know, I mean, if you look from New York City to Sapelo Island to Oklahoma to wherever, prime real estate, people want it, developers want it, they want to do something with it.
Vacation houses, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, on that note, if you're interested more about the Gullah Geechee culture and even some farmers that are still preserved on the island, there's a cool post here by Natasha Bowens on browngirlfarming.com, so you should definitely check that out.
Yeah, check her out. She was on Hot Grease back in the summer. She took off early summer, late spring, went all down the east coast of Georgia, and she interviewed, you know, primarily African-American farmers. And I think that on her site, she's doing some video too, and I know she has a few a blog post and a few videos particularly with Geechee Gullah farmers. Cool. So check that out.
Yeah, and listen to the My Welcome Table episode in Charleston, South Carolina with Jessica Harris.
So yeah, Jessica B. Harris, if you're just tuning in to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, every month she comes out with the show, usually about one particular place. And maybe the last one or the one before that was all about Charleston.
Charleston was the September edition. They come out on the 18th of every month.
So yeah, shout out Jessica B. Harris. I'm sure she's giving us
Her back from Martha's Vineyard, right?
Of course. So, you know, actually, I didn't say this before, Jack. This entire month, we're talking about travel and food here on Hot Grease. And I want to get Jessica in the studio.
Yes.
So she can, you know, talk about...
That's a woman who travels.
Yes. Travels a lot. And then we can promote her show, because I think she has some great shows from Brazil.
Absolutely.
To Charleston, to New Orleans.
Harlem,
everything that really infuses the culture of food and travel and all the things that we love here on Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
Definitely.
All right, Jack. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Jack, as always.
See you next week.
Yep. There you have it, people. Food headlines. Top of October. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I just said it before, the entire month of October, we're going to dedicate it to food and travel. We're going to talk Dubai, we're going to talk Miami, we're going to talk the South, and a ton of other places. But right now on the show, to talk traveling South, is Audra Edwards. She's the marketing manager of the Westin Buckhead Atlanta. Audra, welcome to Hot Grease.
Hi, Nicole. Thank you for having me.
So, Audra, so people are listening and they're getting the mood and they're starting to think about travel. I have to ask you this one question. How far in advance should folks start planning in terms of lodging? What is your suggestion?
Really, it largely depends on the purpose of their trip. But I would say the quick answer, the easy answer is, you know, you ask the question or you make the decision, we're going to this city. When are we going to this city? Where are we going to stay in this city?
So
it should be done that fast.
Okay. So do you recommend it's, you know, October now and someone wants to book a hotel and other arrangements within the next week or two? Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
For traveling in October?
No, just traveling. Just say right now it's October 1st and someone wants to book travel and they want to go somewhere within the next 2 weeks. Do you need more than 2 weeks? Do you need 15 days, 30 days, particularly when you're booking hotels? What do you suggest?
It varies, really. It depends if it's a, you know, like, for example, let me say like a resort. If you're going to an island, you know, the season that you're traveling in, taking into account of what's going on during that time. But booking low, like short-term travel is much easier now than it once was, especially with the internet. You're going to get great deals long-term, short-term in some cases. Because, you know, like with airlines, you can call sometimes and get those last minute because nobody booked those particular flights. You can sometimes find those same offers with the hotels with, like, last-minute deals that are, you know, in many cases prepaid.
Gotcha.
So everything is non-refundable. You can sometimes get a great deal that way. But, short-term, long-term, the way things go right now, you can catch some really great deals depending on how savvy you are with the internet and things of that nature.
Gotcha. So I have a question. I don't know, some of our listeners may be thinking. I know I'm trying to figure out, what exactly does it mean when folks have or hotels have star ratings, like a 4-star hotel, 5-star hotel? Break that down for us.
Okay. Well, the star ratings, the two that people are most familiar with are AAA and Forbes Travel Guide. Forbes was previously Mobile Travel. AAA uses the diamond system from 1 to 5 diamonds, and Forbes uses the stars. And what basically it tells you is kind of what category it falls in. Like a 1-star hotel would be something that's clean, that's comfortable. It has the basics. You're going to get a room and a bed and a bath, most likely. Any additional amenities are nice, but, you know, if you don't have them, then, you know, oh, well, you know, it's okay with a 1-star hotel. With 2-star hotels, you're going to kick up the amenities a little bit. It may have a pool. They may have a continental breakfast, you know. And as you go up the ladder all the way up to 5-star or even 5-diamond, those are your luxury properties. Those are those properties where, you know, when you're coming in out of your car, somebody may be greeting you by name, you know. So it goes from basic to luxury. And the difference in AAA and Forbes is AAA, well, they both have strong criteria. They select what hotels they're going to review and what they're going to, you know, what their individual areas are. Forbes weighs heavily on service. I think about 75% of their score is on service versus physical attributes.
Gotcha.
Versus AAA, which is very well-rounded. I mean, they're both very good, and some people have favorites, but AAA kind of goes over everything. There are, I think, 300 guest interaction points, and then they talk about the aesthetic of the property and everything like that. So, and I know on both of their websites, they give much more detailed, you know, information as to what goes into each level of star. Like, for example, Westin Buckhead, we're a 4-star. So we're considered more upscale establishment that you're going to have, you know, the basics that you need, but you're going to have additional amenities. You're going to have in-room dining. You're going to have a pool, a fitness center, dining on property, things like that.
Gotcha. So let's talk, you mentioned dining, hotel food in 2012. I remember a time where all folks could think about, or at least me, is a buffet for hotel dining. But hotels are like the place now to go eat, go have a drink. How, I know you've been in the hotel and hospitality industry for years. Talk a little bit about the evolution, and particularly at, you know, your particular property, what hotel food means in 2012.
Yeah, I think hotel food is largely, it's evolved quite a bit. I mean, it's not your basic rubber chicken with mashed potatoes and a vegetable. Diners have gotten more knowledgeable because of things like the internet, Food Network, you know, all these cooking shows and things like that. It's no longer, you know, what's going on in the kitchen. It's someone kind of behind that velvet curtain making magic, and then it's revealed. There is still that, but diners now kind of have a better idea as to what's going on back there. They're more knowledgeable. They're more conscientious about what goes into their food. And so hotels, just as restaurants have had to kind of step it up as to what they're providing. At our property, we've started doing more sustainable and local menu items. We offer that to guests because that's something that, you know, people want to know where their food is coming from. We have this property event that we do, you know, that if a group comes in and they want to have a really special dinner, that's kind of a farm to table where we have the local farmers and the local purveyors here in Georgia that are providing the food that our chef is preparing. So people are actually kind of getting a taste tour, if you will, through the agriculture of this state. So it's something that we have had to do, you know, not, you know, which is exciting for our culinary team and, you know, for, I'm sure, chefs all over to kind of rise to the occasion, since the diners now have a better understanding as to what goes into a meeting, into a meal, and a better appreciation of it. And even in terms of being more health conscious, we offer superfoods here, Superfoods RX. So we try to make sure that we're giving people something that's good for their body and educating them as well as to why an apple, why an avocado, you know, why tomatoes are good for you, as opposed to just giving you just a simple buffet with a whole lot of stuff, and, you know, which can be overwhelming. It's more of an experience as opposed to just, you know, here, some food.
Yes, I love an experience. Speaking of experience, early in the show, we were talking about the Sea Islands and Georgia and South Carolina. And, you know, you are the marketing manager at the Westin Atlanta Buckhead. There are so many great properties in Georgia. This show is about traveling south. What are some of the properties that have the southern charm? If people are listening, they're like, you know what? I've been dying to go to Savannah, or I've been dying to go to Atlanta. What could people expect that's different from a Westin that's in Atlanta or Savannah or Hilton Head than one that's in, you know, Las Vegas or somewhere like that?
I think you're going to get, like you said, a little bit of that southern charm, that southern hospitality that the South is so famous for. You get people that are genuinely smiling and caring and, you know, investing in your having a great experience at the hotel. Like, for example, one of our housekeepers, I believe her name is Lavera, was the housekeeper that did this, had a guest who asked if we had bath salts. We didn't have any, you know, just it wasn't something that was standard here at the hotel. The guest wasn't upset. She was just kind of, you know, okay. But the next day on the way to work, Lavera stopped by Lenox Mall, which is next door to the hotel, and went inside a shop and bought some bath bombs for her and just left them on her bed with a little note, you know, just to kind of enhance your stay. And that's not something you get everywhere. That's people that care about your visit, you know, so that you feel like when you're coming here, you're coming to a friend's house, you're coming to a place where people care about you feeling comfortable, about you, you know, having a great memory.
So you
even get, if it's for business, you know, business or pleasure.
So you're getting that Westin service on top of the great Southern charm. And then my favorite thing, you get in the heavenly bed.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. If you've never experienced the heavenly bed, you must do so. So yes, Audra,
I call it a big hug. Yes. Into a big hug.
It definitely is a big hug and a Southern girl's hug. How about that?
There you go.
Audra, thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease and kicking off our travel edition, month-long travel edition of Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Audra, the Weston Buckhead can be found on Twitter. What's y'all's Twitter handle?
It's at Weston Buckhead.
There you go, people.
We're also on Facebook and Pinterest. Definitely check out our Pinterest page.
Oh, wow. You guys are on Pinterest. Do you have a food board on Pinterest?
We do. We have food. We have entertaining. We have dogs because we have a heavenly dog program. So lots of cute pictures of lots of cute puppies. So definitely stop by there.
Okay. We'll do that. Audra, thanks so much for coming on Hot Grease. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Listeners, keep tuning in. We'll be right back with more Hot Grease.
White Oak Pastures is a 146-year-old, multi-generational family farm that works in cooperation with nature to produce artisan meat that is safe, healthy, nutritious, and good to eat. Without fail, we ensure that our production practices are economically practical, ecologically sustainable, and that the animals are always humanely treated. We never falter in our determination to conduct our business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. You can check our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.org. If you're listening live to Hot Grease, we have a call-in number. You can give us a buzz. Our number here is 718-497-2128. I love, love, love when my friends are in town. Ha ha, she's laughing already. And they stop by the studio. In the studio today, we have Donette Bruce. Donette Bruce lives in South Florida and blogs about lifestyle, travel, and food. Welcome to Hot Grease, Donette.
Hi, Nicole.
Well, actually, welcome back, because you've been in the studio before.
I have.
Yeah, so Donette, if you're just tuning in to Hot Grease, you lived in New York. You stay here for a minute. You're back in South Florida. I have to ask you first. Okay, so it's kind of fall here now. What's the weather like in South Florida?
I don't know if I should tell you.
Let me hear it.
It's maybe about 80-something degrees. You know,
oh, my gosh.
It's like year-long summer.
Yeah, because I saw on the news, I think, yesterday that in, like, L.A. or something, it was like 100 degrees, like 90-something degrees. What? 80? So you could still go to the beach?
Every month, every day.
Oh, my gosh. So, look, we were talking about hotels earlier. I have to ask you, South Florida, people love the beach and the hotels in South Florida. What is your favorite hotel bar? Give me a few hotel bars in South Florida. Miami, home of Rick Ross.
Your favorite, right? Well, I love the lounge in the W in the Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
So they have big comfy couches. They have a really nice bar. I go there to meet friends or have business meetings or anything like that.
So it's just the W Hotel Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah.
Oh, so, but it's not on the beach or anything?
It's actually on the beach. It's like,
oh, wow,
1 minute away from the beach. So you could actually go there with friends. You could sit on the patio area. The water is right there. And you could walk across the street and you're at the beach.
Is that your all-time favorite or do you have a few?
I have a few. The bar at the Shelbourne in Miami.
Okay, tell me about the Shelbourne. The thing what I love about Miami and their hotels, you have so many cool art deco. The architectural structure of a lot of the hotels is just so cool. I never heard of the Shelbourne.
They actually been around for a minute. They just underwent like a really, really big renovation.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, and I think they basically unveiled that during Art Week last week, Art Basel.
Oh,
last,
really?
Last year.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So what's up with the dining scene? I saw last week you hosted a meetup in conjunction with Blogalicious.
Mm-hmm.
Was that at a restaurant or?
That's actually Bloom and Wynwood.
Yeah.
So they are a good example of anything that they make. They use local farmers.
Yeah.
In down south in South Florida. So it's Bloom and Wynwood. They have a lot of art, you know, from local artists inside. Local people helped actually design the outside of the restaurant. Yeah. Another favorite is Sugarcane Raw Bar.
Sugarcane Raw Bar. Yeah. This sounds like the same sugarcane that's in Brooklyn.
No,
okay.
It's totally different. Okay. This is like a tapas bar. It has an international flair. And they have a wide variety of, you know, rums and spirits and things like that.
So these are all your go seen and to be seen places. But the good thing about both of them, what I'm hearing you say, they're like farm to table.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do I still like the word farm to table? It's kind of going out of style. He's going out of style, though.
Well, you let me know. She's the one that put me up on a lot of, you know.
Okay. I'll let you know. I think using the term is kind of played now. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this, because we only have a few more minutes left. Your hole in the wall spaces. I know you're, you know, originally from Jamaica, mine. Your parents are. And Cuban food. Do you have your favorite hole in the wall spaces that you want to go if you want to get a patty or...
Cuban or Jamaican?
Both.
Jamaican, I would say, let me see. I would say, Taste Right. That's definitely it's a very small place on the side of a convenience store. It's been there for years. I think they have the best patties, in my opinion.
You say years, like 20 plus years?
Years, yeah. Since I've been in probably.
What else do they have? Cocoa bread and patty?
Patty, cocoa bread, everything.
Wow.
Rice and peas, oxtails, jerk chicken, everything.
That's the place to go. I mean, because we've talked about this before. I got married in Jamaica in the Grill. I did not go to not one fancy place to eat the entire 7 days I was there. It was like jerk shacks, side of the road, the best food ever. So there are a few of those. Every time I go to Miami, I must say, I'm like holed up in a hotel chilling poolside. I need to get out and see something holding.
I have a couple places for you.
Okay.
And
okay.
another Cuban spot that I really like is, I would say, Don Pepe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hole in the wall or?
It's a Cuban spot. It's not so much a hole in the wall, but it's something I really like. It's not really greasy or anything. It's really good food.
Cool.
Yeah.
Donette, I'm so glad you came by. I have, I'm sitting here looking at the Edible Brooklyn. Ironically, can you believe this month's issue is called the travel issue? So they have a great, they have a few great articles all about travel, and they have an article about the upcoming New York City Food Film Festival. The final day of the festival, I'm most excited about this. They're doing a low country oyster roast. So if you have time, pick it up, the Edible Brooklyn, if you're in Brooklyn. Or if you're not in Brooklyn, you sometimes can find, you know, you can go to Miami and find the Edible Brooklyn. Brooklyn is high.
I found them.
You did?
Mm-hmm. The South Florida edition.
The South Florida edition of Edible Brooklyn?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So there you have it. Donette, people, stay tuned. Entire month. Next week, we are going to have a couple who is living, working. They're chefs in Dubai on Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Today, our show was engineered by Joe G, produced by myself and Mr. Jack Inslee. Our studio is located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The home and the location of Heritage Radio Network. Folks, remember as always to listen to Hot Grease every Monday, 3:30 Eastern Time. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.